Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good morning, everyone, to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour Message. It's 6-3-2018. This morning's message is being effective witnesses. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. We're going to do Genesis 50, verse 20, and I will get back to the prayers, folks. This is just to get you ready so you can get your finger in your scriptures. And then we're going to go to Philippians 1, verse 13. So if you get your finger on Philippians 2 for now, we'll bounce to the other two when we get there. But this morning we have a song for you, as always, and then we're going to do the prayer request. So before we get started, I have a song. It's called Standing on the Rock. Standing on a solid rock, folks. We have to understand, folks, that, you know, not for nothing, God meant for us to stand on His word. And if we don't have that, we don't have much. Honestly, we don't, folks. Whether the trials come, or whether we're happy, or whether we're joyous, we should be standing on the promises of God, and that means standing on that rock. If we're on a rock, on solid ground, how could we be sinking and be in despair? This morning's prayers, folks, and that's why I bring this up about standing on the solid rock and using that song for that, because there's much that needs to be discussed. We need to realize that there's people that are suffering, there's people that are going without, there's people that don't know how to live with the things that are going on in this world. And I ask you, folks, really, in all honesty, when you face your trials, are you letting the devil cause you to slip off the rock? Are you standing on a slimy rock in a stream? Are you waiting to fall into that pit? Because, see, that's where our prayer life comes in. If we're standing on a solid rock, we trust God. Our prayers are that no matter what happens to me today, whether I live or die, whether I suffer or whether I don't, or whether I have a good day or I don't, God is always there and He's always taking care of me. That's how we have to look at life. That's why I say prayer life is important, folks. It's us spending time not just talking to God, not just asking God for things, but allowing God to work in us to show us all the things that He does for us. Amen. So, like I said, our prayers this morning, we want to pray for my niece, Marion Delaney. She's back home. She was in the hospital this past week with spitting up blood and having yellow bile come up from her stomach. They found some things on her esophagus that they removed, and they did some other tests. They think there was a problem with her heart because her blood pressure kept dropping down at night when she would go to sleep. Dropped down to like 30, I think it's 30 beats a minute or something like that. I'm not quite sure how they register that, but her blood pressure kept dropping down to like 30, her heartbeat. So anyhow, just pray for Marion. We want to pray for Joseph Gray. As always, Joseph's going through so much pain, suffering. He's a military man. He served in the military. The VA is, they're not even taking care of him. It's that bad, folks, in our country. When our veterans can't go to a VA hospital and be provided the services that they need, poor Joseph has been suffering for as long as I can remember. And I'm not kidding you. This has been a couple of years me and Joseph have been friends. He broke his hip. They didn't take care of it. He's still suffering with a busted hip. They supposedly did something and fixed it, and it didn't work out. They haven't given him pain meds. He's in pain constantly. He's not a young guy. It's an older gentleman. So please pray for Joseph, that they would heal him, that God would heal him, that they'd find a way to give him the medicines to get him through. I saw another post this morning, another military man suffering, and he's not getting the help either, okay? He said he doesn't mind if he dies, but he doesn't feel that he should be going before his wife, and his wife's health's not good either. So pray for that man as well. If you would, I just saw another post. Marion, my niece, was saying she's in some pain. I guess she's going to have some bad days, she said. But it looks like she needs prayers as well, folks. And then there's a prayer request that I had on Facebook that my daughter's asked for a job, for finances and things like that, my daughter Rebecca. There's so many things, folks, that are going on in the world where people just don't have, they just don't have anybody watching out for them, folks. That's how they feel. I ran into a couple women yesterday down at the lake when I was out with my grandsons, and one of the women was telling me how her son has depression. She mentioned that he's pretty religious and that she feels that he's with the Lord, that everything is okay, but she knows that he suffers from depression, he's suicidal, and things like that. So the whole world is out of sync, folks. And what I said there was, is you got to put your faith back in God. And she's a Christian. She really is. And the thing is, why I'm saying this now is because of our despair, folks. We give up on our prayer life. We give up on God. We just all of a sudden decide that man can do it better than God. And that's not the way it is. So please pray for that young man, that he'll find the right path in his beliefs with God, and that he'll put all the man's ways to the side and stop thinking about his depression. Start counting your blessings, folks. There's more to this, folks. There's people that are suffering because they don't have, like I said, they just don't have someone to care for them or watch over them because they don't really have a God. The sad thing is they don't have a God. Let's see. Peggy Virch, who's still suffering. She had an operation. She's still asking for healing. You know, I told her, I said, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the great healer. Because that's who Jesus is. Jesus, the great healer. He can heal us. And his biggest part is for healing us in our prayer life, folks, is that we would listen to him and realize that sometimes a little bit of pain isn't so bad. But we can be effective witnesses for Christ, and you'll see that in a minute. So here's our message this morning, folks. I'm going to go through it with you. Please pray for those folks. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Lord, help us to always remember those in need, remember those that are sick, those that are feeling bad, those that need our hands just to help one another, sometimes just to comfort one another, just to hug them, Lord. Give us the strength to do that. Father, we thank you for allowing us to have the opportunity to share the gospel with people, and I hope the message touches their hearts this morning, Lord. God bless you. In Jesus' name, we ask that you would watch over all of these people and heal them and save them, Father, and for my daughter, for her husband, for the job, and for my younger daughter, that she'd find time in her life to get to church every Sunday, Lord. I know there's things going on in her life and she's busy, but the same, Lord, goes for all of us. Please, in Jesus' name, I ask, watch over us and protect us. being effective witnesses, I took this message, and if you looked at my blog post, you'd see I took this from a Dr. Stanley message this week because I thought it was critical that not only does he give a good part on what it means to be an effective witness, but I think there's some more things that need to be pointed out, like how he's worked in our lives, how he's changed us, how he's made us effective by sharing the gospel with others. Dr. Stanley says this, and we'll go back to Philippians in a minute. Some of the most effective witnesses are those who have gone through painful, trying circumstances. Consider how the gospel has spread in parts of the world that are poor, how the gospel has been spread in parts all around the world, not just to those that are wealthy, but to the poor, those that have nothing, the oppressed and the troubled. Or think of your response to the triumphant stories of former criminals, people who have suffered abuse, and religious prisoners. God's power is manifest in man's weakest moments. Whether believers develop into stronger witnesses as a result of difficulties depends on their response to crisis. Many people make the mistake of focusing on the will of man instead of God's sovereignty. Then they find an impossible belief that God will bring positive results from their pain. Doesn't that sound familiar? Those who rise above their circumstances understand that God uses every experience for good. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. That's Genesis 5:20. And we're going to go there as well. To trust the principle, we must realize that any situation we face is under the authority of a kind, loving Father. Paul's time in prison yielded better and more abundant fruit than he could have produced any other way. He spread the gospel to the Roman guards because he was chained to one another, from one prisoner to another, every single day for years. As we turn our attention to Christ, he reveals opportunities for impacting people with the gospel. These are often chances we wouldn't have had apart from trying circumstances. You're always in God's hand. I understand that in hard times, it's not easy to focus on his sovereign will and the good he has in store for you. But I also know that God never allows anything to touch us that he will not turn to our benefit and the good of his kingdom. And that's from Dr. Stanley. Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Stanley. I appreciate that. We needed that. It brought a lot to light this week for me because being an effective witness means that even when we're in our worst of times, when we're suffering, like I was saying earlier, when people do things against us or do things that aren't godly and they disrespect us and treat us wrong, this past week that happened to me at least once, and I won't go into details how many times it really happened, but at least once that comes to mind, that's pretty bad. But people take advantage of us, and how we respond, how we act or respond to that abuse or disrespect is just as effective as me sitting here preaching to you right now, telling you the word of God. It's not only so when I do it when I'm in this mood, but when I'm in the worst mood, you see? That's how we're supposed to act and react. We're supposed to be the same all the time. That's why people will say to us, I thought you were a Christian. How dare you get so aggravated and upset over that and cast all your cares in the world and then start living like the world does. And that's exactly how we act as people. Now, that's because of our spirit is always warring with the flesh and our flesh with the spirit. See, our flesh wants to say, I'll get even with you. But our spirit says, no, 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 let that go, leave it alone. So sometimes you have to be in tune. One of the things that came up also this past week was to be aligned with God. Align yourself with God and you won't align yourself with the world. But in Philippians 2, I want to go there. I don't want to lose out on this today. I want to make sure we get all of the scripture in that we're supposed to do it. And Philippians 2, chapter 2 of Philippians, rather, verse 12 through 16 says this. It says, the heading for this says, outworking of salvation. That's at the top of the title of those verses. Working outwardly our salvation. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only. In other words, not only when Christ was there, not only when we were in church, or not only when we're around Christians, but when we're out in the world, folks. but now much more in my absence. In other words, Christ isn't with us right at the moment, or when we're angry, when Christ isn't with us and we're serving the devil. He says here, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know that stuff isn't good. You know being in despair, being depressed, or being angry, or being upset about finances, or that. That's the worst time that we should be looking the other direction. We should always, he says here, always obey. Not also, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence. That means we should be just going, okay, having a bad day? Okay, Lord, help me, get me through this. Move on. Just move on. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Because God will work it in us. It's his pleasure to make us happy. It's his pleasure to keep us joyous. It's his pleasure to keep us from worrying about the things this world throws our way. He says, look, I put you out there as sheep among the wolves. But that doesn't mean we live as the world. That means we live as Christians as if Jesus was standing right beside us, as he is every day. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Don't be crying, whining, complaining. I had my little grandson here yesterday. He got upset because he couldn't have his way. And that's kind of how we are as adults. When things don't go our way, we start whining and complaining, murmuring and complaining, murmuring, disputating. And before you know it, we're not acting like Christians. And then you got people going, I thought you said you were Christian. And but what they don't understand, and this was said to me also in the last couple of days, was sure, but what about my flesh? I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm supposed to act good. So how come you and your flesh can get away with acting like you do towards me? How come you don't treat me with respect as a Christian, as if you were standing in front of Christ himself? They don't want to hear that. Because then they go, well, you're not Christ. That's right, but you just said I'm a Christian. Well, what's that make me? I'm a follower of Christ. Am I right? Okay? Now let's look at this. It says in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless. Blameless and harmless. Huh. That means we shouldn't be doing things that they can point their fingers at us and be able to say, why are you getting angry? I thought you were a Christian. I thought Christians didn't get angry over this stuff. We shouldn't. You're right. But we do, and we know that. But then harmless means we shouldn't be harming anyone, means we shouldn't be casting out, spewing out words from our lips, be it foul language or being upset or saying things or wanting to destroy someone or something, right? The sons of God, it says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. That's not just men, you know. That means women also. That means children also. That means we are to be just like the Son, Jesus Christ, of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and what? Perverse nation. This whole world is a perverse nation, folks, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're supposed to be lights in the world. We're supposed to be better than that. We're supposed to be the light in the darkness. We're supposed to be the kindness when no one else is. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, my labor's not in vain. Even when people take advantage of me and I do things, and this happens quite often in my life, and many of people have said, why do you keep helping people? They never really repay you. They don't even pay you for services half the time. Because glory to God, I get all my services provided by the Lord. That's why I do it. Yes, it gets me aggravated that people disrespect me, people that do things and use me and despitefully abuse me and use me, okay? They spitefully do that. But you know what? God always provides for me. I came home this week after someone had done that to me. I was in my back room, and all I could think of is, look at all God has given me. I was mad. I was furious that somebody did that again, and I allowed it to happen. It was my own foolishness. And when I brought it up to someone, they said, well, you know, God also gives us the wisdom to know to stay away from toxic people. And I didn't realize that until after that was said to me. This is why it's happened. I was around toxic people. If you get out in the world as sheep among the wolves, you're going to be around those that are viciously trying to destroy you and hurt you. Now let's go over to Genesis in chapter 50. As soon as I can get my fingers in that spot. In chapter 50, if we look at verse 20, verse 20 says this, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me." That means we're talking about those in the world. "But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." You see, they meant, back then, Joseph was going through some times, right? And he said, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." That's where we should be. That's the verse before. Are we in the place of God? Our heart should be in the place of God. No matter what goes on, listen, these people, Joseph's brothers, had sold him into slavery, and they meant it for bad for him. They meant these things, if we look at it, it tells us, it says, listen, "The father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of God, of the father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants." We should be the servants, even against those that meant evil for us. I know that sounds strange. It sounds weird, because people do things wrong to us, right? We should still be the servant. The Bible says we should heap coals of kindness on their head, in Proverbs, I believe it is. Now, folks, I don't always do that. I'd be a liar if you know me at all. If you know me at all, you know how I have flesh in me, just as you have flesh in you, and certain situations arise, and I don't handle them like a Christian. I'm being honest with you, folks. There's a lot of things that happen in my life. But I'm trying to explain to you what God expects from us, me included, me especially, as your teacher, as your preacher. Okay? It's for me to be that much better, that much more willing to suffer. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't change. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't go about trying to make your life better. But to be an effective witness and being effective witnesses, this is something I preached the other day, was we are ambassadors to Christ. What's an ambassador? That's a representative. If you're a representative, you represent as a Christian doing the right thing for Christ. I know I don't always do that. I know that, but people that know me also know that I'm not foolish enough to believe that my own flesh doesn't get in the way at times. And I know your flesh will get in the way at times too, but you have to be willing to turn from it and say, "Lord, forgive me for acting or reacting the way I did, and make me a better person. Turn my life around, make me a better person. Don't let me fail you, Lord. I want to be an effective witness." To be that effective witness, we have to change the way we are or were and become something different than what we are, which means align ourselves with God and do what God asked us to do. Even at the loss of our own. See, that's the problem with the flesh. The flesh says, "Why would I do that? That wouldn't. I need to be who I am." Well, if that's how you want to live your life, you go ahead. If Dr. Phil there on television has said many a times, how's that working for you? If being miserable over situations works for you, have at it. They don't work for me. I want to be a happy person. I want to be in the right place, like it says, you know, in 18, and he says, "And brethren also went and fell down." And then he says at the end, "We be thy servants." Can we be Jesus Christ's servants and be effective witnesses? Or are we going to be Jesus Christ's servants and not really serve him anyway? You know, it doesn't take a lot to realize that we have to be in control. I had this thought this morning that Christians are control freaks and that we should be control freaks. We should be in control of our body. We should be in control of our tongue. We should be in control of our mind. And not be so much in control of what the world wants to do, but make sure that we, as effective witnesses, become control freaks of our own body, mind, soul, tongue, heart, spirit. If you're not in control, the Bible says you're like a city that has fallen apart. Imagine that. Look at the cities that have been bombed over in the Gulf area, right? Over in those areas where ISIS has been, they're totally devastated. They're in ruins. If you're not in control of yourself, that's what you look like. You are ruined. And people see that in you. How do you be an effective witness? Start getting it back in control. Build yourself back up. Make yourself a better person. Look to the things that could make you a much more effective witness for Christ. Now, lastly, I have the last verse that I want to get to, which is Philippians 1:13, and we want to get there before the end of the message here. So I'm going to try and get over there quickly. Let me see. Here we go. Give me 1 second, and I'll be right there. But, you know, folks, honestly, if we're going to do this, we have to do it with our heart. In Philippians 1:13, it says this, so that my bonds, which means being in bondage, in Christ, are manifest in all the palace and all other places. You see, when the time comes that we get to go to heaven, do you want to answer for that? Well, I was doing what I wanted. You're God, and Jesus died for all my sins. I had one gentleman tell me last week that once we are saved, we're washed in the blood. We don't sin anymore. We're not sinners. We may make mistakes, he said, but we're not sinners. See how easy that is to fluff that off. If you do something wrong, it's a sin against God. You're still a sinner. Oh, you make a mistake. There's no doubt. You made a mistake. You didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to get angry this week. I was angry. But I acted foolishly. And God sets it in my heart to say, listen, so that my bonds, I'm held to Christ. Would I have done that if I was with Christ? Would I have done that if I was in his presence? I doubt it. You see, we are supposed to be doing things as if we were in the place with Jesus, in the palace with Jesus, at home with the Lord, as well as when he's not with us. I thank you for letting me share that with you. I hope I made a point of how you can be an effective witness. Being effective witness means putting yourself aside and serving the Lord. That's what it means. Even no matter what you want to do with your life, it matters more that you do what's right for Christ. I know it sounds foolish to some because we're so used to living in a world doing what the world expects from us or wants from us. But sometimes you have to make sacrifices because with all the glory that God gives, in order to get the glory, you have to suffer. I had to go through all those things in my life, the loss of my parents, living as an alcoholic, a drug addict, being a street kid, living in the street, acting like a fool, so that I could witness to others effectively and say, I was you once. I no longer want to be that man again. I want to be the man I am today. I want to change and be for Christ, not for the world. I have another song for you. I thank you for coming out and listening this morning. God bless you. Thank you. My last song for you is All to Jesus I Surrender. And I hope you'll surrender your life to him today. And I hope you'll start changing for him today. God bless you, and thank you for being here. I'll let this play out. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook, and we can have conversations there if you'd like. William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for being here.